Hell is a place of fire. It's a place of torment. It's a place of agony. And the Bible describes it as the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, where you're tormented day and night forever and ever. It's a terrible, horrible place. And the scripture calls this the second death. Isn't it interesting that the Lord tells us that we must be born again? A twice born man only dies once, but a once born man dies twice. He faces the second death, and hell, the lake of fire, is the second death. The judgment will be everlasting fire. And you know, this is the saddest part of the whole thing. The judgment could have been avoided.
He can heal every scar.
You're tuned to From His Heart, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Jeff Shreve, and every day he opens up God's Word and shares hope from God's heart. Last time we began a message called The Saddest Day in History, and if you've tuned in for a happy message today, well, it probably won't be this one. But don't tune out, because Pastor Jeff pulls no punches when it comes to teaching the truth of Scripture. And in this day of positive thinking, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, feel good about yourself, and you'll be okay messages, we really need to hear all the sobering truth about what lies ahead for those we know who have not surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. But keep this in mind, for those who have received Christ as Savior and Lord, there is a glorious eternity awaiting, and we'll learn how that's possible today. This lesson is the last lesson in Pastor Jeff's series on Bible prophecy called Countdown to Armageddon, the Second Coming of Jesus Christ. For more information about today's message or our current series, you can visit our website at fromhisheart.org. Right now, open your Bible to Revelation chapter 20 as Pastor Jeff concludes the lesson, The Saddest Day in History.
What happens at the Great White Throne Judgment? Notice with me three aspects to this terrible, awesome judgment. Aspect number one, the judge will sit on his throne. Look at verse 11 again. And I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it. Now, Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, speak of the supreme court of the universe. It gives us that picture. It is the final judgment. It is the final courtroom. And John says he saw a great white throne. It's not any old throne. It's a special throne. Great speaks of its power. White speaks of its purity. Throne speaks of its sovereignty. And this is the throne of the sovereign of the universe. The judge will sit on his throne. Aspect number two, the judged will stand before him. Look at verse 12. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. Now, I think that we can put the great and the small all together in four categories. Four categories of people, I believe, will be at the great white throne judgment. First of all, the willfully wicked will be there. The willfully wicked. These are the people that don't care anything about God, that don't give a rip about the Bible or about God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. They could care less. But not only the willfully wicked, the self-righteous soul, the procrastinating person will be there. This is the person who heard the gospel, heard about the cross, and heard about the empty tomb, and heard about the offer that Jesus makes to every person to save that person if they'll just call upon him. This person hears all that. This person receives all that. This person believes, yes, that's right. That's what a person needs to do. That's what I need to do. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make that decision tomorrow. The procrastinating person will be there. And then the last category is perhaps the saddest category of all. This is the confused church member. This is the person who joined the church, the person who got baptized, the person who got their name on the church roll but never got their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. A confused church member has never been born again. You know, a confused church member thinks, well, you know, if I sing in the choir, that ought to cut it. If I serve as a deacon or as an usher, that ought to cut it. You know what the Lord says about being a deacon, about singing in the choir, about being an usher, about teaching Sunday school? If you're trusting in that to get you to heaven, you know what the Lord says about that great Hebrew word? Whoop-de-doo. Means absolutely nothing. You must be born again, Jesus said. Have you been born again? I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. The judge will sit on his throne. The judge will stand before him. And then aspect number three, the judgment will be measured out. The judgment will be measured out. Now, the scripture says in verse 12, I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. The books. What books is he talking about? The books that God has with all your deeds in it. The books that God keeps, the records that God keeps with his recording angel of all the things that you've ever done and that I've ever done and every person has ever done, God keeps records of that. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. You thought you were behind closed doors on that business meeting. You thought nobody saw you committing adultery. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. Hebrews 4:13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep his commandments. Because the Lord will bring every act to judgment, everything that is hidden, whether it is good or evil. God just opens it up. They're books. And God produces the books as these dead, both great and small, one by one, stand before the Lord. The books are open. And God tells them all that they have done. And God just reads off all of their sins. They're judged, everyone, according to their deeds. Oh, you say, Pastor Jeff, God knows all that about me? Yeah, he knows everything about everyone. God knows you. He knows everything about you. There are books on every single person. You say, yeah, but Jeff, I'm a Christian. Does God still have books on me? Yes. And on every single page are written these words, paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. The judgment will be measured out. The books are open, and the judgment will be perfect justice. They're judged, everyone, according to their deeds. God says it twice in verse 12 and in verse 13. And every one of them according to their deeds. You know what's so ironic? People think that they get to heaven by their good deeds. They think their good deeds pave the way for them to get into heaven. God judges them by their deeds. Good deeds don't get them to heaven. Their good deeds pave the way to hell. Bible says there's none righteous, not even one. God says all your righteous deeds, your quote unquote righteous deeds, are like a filthy rag in his sight. And God judges them. Perfect justice will be meted out. So much sin, so much punishment. Now, here is where it pays at the great white throne judgment. Here's where it pays to be a more upstanding wicked person, to be a more upstanding sinner. See, not all sinners are the same. Adolf Hitler is not the same as some guy down the street that doesn't know the Lord, that just works a job and comes home and takes care of his wife and kids and might be morally upstanding, but he's lost. Well, you can't evaluate those guys and say they both received the same punishment. Because one guy, Adolf Hitler, has the blood of 6 million Jews on his hands. So God will judge with perfect justice, and he will take into account the sin that was committed. See, every sin is equal in essence. It's rebellion against God. But every sin is not equal in consequence. Some sins have bigger consequences than other sins. If your wife cooks lunch for you today and something is wrong with it and you eat it and you don't want to hurt her feelings, she said, how did you enjoy the steak? And you said, I liked it. That's a lie. That's a sin. Not quite the same as murdering your neighbor who stole your lawnmower. You know, there's a difference between those two things. And God is fair. And God weighs all that in the balance. And you want to know another thing with this perfect justice that comes out at the great white throne? Another thing that's really important to remember? God judges, and perfect justice has to do also with how much light, how much revelation from God did you have? Look what the scripture says in Luke chapter 12. Jesus said this, "And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will shall receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but few. And from everyone who has been given much shall much also be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more." The person who has sat in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, who has heard the gospel over and over and over and over again, and yet has not received Christ, that person will face a stiffer judgment. He knew his master's will, and he didn't do it. He'll receive many lashes. See, it is dangerous to come to church. You're here today. I want you to know this is a dangerous day to come to church. Because we're talking about the great white throne judgment, and now your ears are open, and now your eyes are open, and you know what lies ahead for everyone who rejects Christ. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ, and you walk out of this room and you reject him, and you say later, you procrastinate and say later, or you lie to yourself and say, "I'm good enough as is, I'm just trusting in my good works, I'm trusting in my baptism." You do something unwise and foolish like that, that will figure into the judgment. Because you knew your master's will. You knew what you needed to do. Yet you didn't want to do it. You didn't choose to do it. It's dangerous to come to church. You say, "Well, I'm going to quit coming to church then." Well, too late. You're already here. I mean, you already know. You should have thought about that at 10:25. It's over. The judgment will be perfect justice. And the judgment will be everlasting fire. That's what Jesus said about the judgment. Verse 14, "And the dead in death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." The second death. See, every person at this judgment is going to hell. The Lord is determining the degree of punishment, the degree of hell. Hell's not the same for everybody. And the Lord looks at their sin record. Books were opened. Obviously, not only the book of the deeds, but the Bible is going to be open. God is going to judge based on his word. And they're going to receive punishment. But the punishment is a lake of fire. Now, a lot of people have said, "Well, you know, it can't be a literal lake of fire, because Jesus said it's also a place of outer darkness. You cast that slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And they said, you know, you can't have fire and outer darkness. Can with God. God knows how to do that. I don't know how to do it, but you can with God. But I want you to know, anytime the Bible talks about hell, talks about Hades, it's a place of fire. Jesus told that parable of Lazarus and the rich man. We know him, theologians call him Dives, because the Latin word for rich man is Dives. So Lazarus and Dives, and the rich man Dives, he dies and he goes to Hades. And he says, "I am in agony in this flame." Hell is a place of fire. It's a place of torment. It's a place of agony. And the Bible describes it as the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, where you're tormented day and night forever and ever. It's a terrible, horrible place. And the scripture calls this the second death. The second death. Isn't it interesting that the Lord tells us that we must be born again? A twice born man only dies once, but a once born man dies twice. He faces the second death, and hell, the lake of fire, is the second death. The judgment will be everlasting fire. And you know, this is the saddest part of the whole thing. The judgment could have been avoided. See, the scripture says in verse 12, And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, God opens, I believe he opens the scripture. I believe he opens the books with the deeds in them. And then he opens the book of life. And he says, is their name written in the book of life? Is it found written? And the angel says, no, Lord. His name is not found written in the book of life. Now, this is what I want you to think about. Every person that stands at the great white throne is going into the lake of fire. Every single person there, this person is someone who rejected Christ. So why does God look through the book of life to see if their name was there? He knows the name is not there. He does it for the benefit of the great and the small standing before him. He does it to show that person that, you know what? There was a spot in my book for you. I died for you. The Lord is not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And the book of life is open to show that person that Jesus died for you. He shed his blood for you. He took all the hell that you now face. He already took it into himself. But you know what you said? You said no to him. You said, I don't want to go your way. As Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night he was arrested, he was praying and he was sweating blood and he prayed three times, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he willingly went to the cross. He chose the Father's will over his own will. He willingly went to the cross and he gave his life and he tasted death and he tasted hell for everyone. Not my will, but thine be done. But now a person who rejects Christ, who says no to Christ, who procrastinates about Christ, who says, no, I'm just going to be a good person. I'm just going to be a person that is just a church member and that's good enough. A person that does that, they have basically said to the Lord, not your will, but mine be done. I'm going to come my way. I'm going to do it my way. I'm like Frank Sinatra. I'm going to do this thing my way. And I'm not doing your will. I'm doing my will. And then they die. And when a person dies, if you don't know Christ, you died right now, you wouldn't go to straight to the lake of fire. You go to a place called Hades. Hades is like the county jail. And from Hades, you're resurrected one day and you stand before the Lord at the great white throne, and from the great white throne, you go into the lake of fire. Hades is temporary hell. The lake of fire is permanent hell. And as you stand before the Lord, you'll hear him say, this sin, 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 this sin. He'll just read through the books. So much sin, so much punishment. And he'll look at you and say, I died for you. I gave my life for you on the cross, but you rejected me. You received not the love of the truth so as to be saved. And you said, not thy will, but mine be done. And Jesus, with tears in his eyes, will say to you, not my will, but yours be done. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you.
So what hope is there for those in danger of hearing those ominous words addressed to them? Is there yet time to change course? Well, of course there is. And Pastor Jeff returns in just a moment to close out this sobering last lesson in his Countdown to Armageddon series. If you listen to the news each day, of course, we hear about wars and earthquakes and famines and disasters and so much more. You see, the world is on a collision course with the rapture, the great tribulation, the Antichrist, and the second coming of Jesus. To be ready, we need to know what God's Word says. We don't know the day, but we can know the season. And Pastor Jeff has been preaching from this 8-message series called Countdown to Armageddon. We're making it available on CD, DVD, and in MP3 format. To receive your copy, you can call us at 800-985-1530. That's 800-985-1530. Or visit our website at fromhisheart.org. By the way, you can also order a single CD, DVD, or MP3 of today's message. Part 1 and 2 will be included. It's called The Saddest Day in History. The number again, 800-985-1530, or the website fromhisheart.org. Now, let's conclude today's message, The Saddest Day in History, and this series from Pastor Jeff.
When I got saved as a 17-year-old high school senior, the motivation for me to get saved was that I didn't want to go to hell. Ever since I'd been a little kid, I knew I wanted to go to heaven. I just didn't know how to get there. And I can remember in my bed at night, I would be praying what I thought was praying. And I just said, God, I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to go to heaven when I die. When I was 17 years old, I went to a meeting and a man shared his testimony. And he shared what it took to go to heaven, how you needed to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. And if you will give your life to Christ and receive Christ, then he'll receive you and you'll be saved. And I went home that night and the Lord went home with me and the Lord spoke to me and the Lord said, Jeff, you're the kid that wants to go to heaven so bad. If you were to die right now, you wouldn't go to heaven. You have no basis to go to heaven. You're trusting in yourself, being a good person to get you to heaven. And the Lord just showed me that I was on the highway to hell. And when I saw that, I got down on my knees. And I said with all my heart, Jesus, would you save me? And he did. Listen, the Lord says, come now. Come now. Now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the acceptable time. You have an opportunity right now to nail down your salvation. If you have doubts about it, don't have doubts anymore. Come and confess Christ and receive Christ. And receive assurance. If you're a one that struggles with assurance, nail it down. And if you're here and you know you don't know him, you know you've never been born again, today is the day for you. God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead.
There really is only one way that God, in his providence, has provided a means of escaping the wrath of his judgment to come, and that's the cross of Christ. Do you sense in your spirit the Holy Spirit calling you today, a day to turn from your sin and to receive the finished work of Jesus on the cross? There is no more important decision that you can make. If that's the case, then just pray a prayer like this. Mean it from the bottom of your heart and say, God, I'm tired of trying to work my way to heaven. I've realized I cannot do it at all. I need to be cleansed by the work of Christ on the cross. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, Lord. I turn from it to you. I trust you to save me. I thank you for saving me. I now trust you to work in my life to make me the person that you want me to be. Lord, help me to grow each day to be more like Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, Jesus has come into your heart, and you are now a child of God. And Jesus says, I will never forsake you. You'll need to find a Bible-believing church and Christian friends to help you to grow in your walk with God. You'll want to get baptized as a testimony of your surrender to him. It will testify to everyone about what he has done in your heart. Please write to us at From His Heart and let us rejoice with you. Our mailing address is From His Heart, Box 7267, Texarkana, Texas, 75505. Or you can click on the Contact Us tab on our website at fromhisheart.org and tell us your story. Also, go to the Why Jesus icon on the homepage and download some free materials that will help you in your new Christian walk. God bless you. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We hope that you'll join Pastor Jeff on television this weekend. You can find the time and channel in your area from our website. I'm Larry Nobles. Thanks for tuning in today. We trust you'll be here tomorrow as we again open God's Word and share real hope and real truth from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Pastor Jeff Shreve, who believes that no matter how badly you may have messed up in life, God still loves you and has a wonderful plan just for you. find out what that is at fromhisheart.org.